The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Here, hour two of four on 710 KNUS. At 10, we go to Charlie Kirk. 11, a guy named Dennis Prager. Seb Gorka at 1, and then we go live and local right back here in the very chair I'm sitting in with Deb Flora. And then 4 o'clock with Stephen Tubbs. I got to see Deb yesterday. I forgot to mention that, Billy. I saw Deb and her husband Jonathan at the Parker Cemetery event. Super nice to see those guys. Of course, Jonathan was an 82nd Airborne guy, so he has been there and done some of that as well. Listen, last week we had a conversation that really took over the Friday show, and it was about the CU policy, University of Colorado policy, about using gendered pronouns or the appropriate pronouns and the absence of using those pronouns when you know that the person prefers other one becomes not just an act of oppression, but an act of violence. And it really spurred quite a conversation that was going on. And after that conversation, Billy and I got together, and Billy said, hey, let's invite friend of the show back on here to have a conversation, Rebecca. And Rebecca joins us right now. If I can, there you go. I just pressed the button. Sorry about that.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming all the way in, too, to sit here across from us. Now, Rebecca, I don't want to describe you. I want you to describe you, and then we'll get to a conversation, if you would. And I ask every guest this, if you've ever listened to the show. I always like to know background, like where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to high school? Blah, blah, blah.
Sure. Well, I'm from Denver, so I grew up here. But I grew up in a lot of places, like 26 times by the time I was 22. I was almost like an army brat, but only in Denver because of like 3 divorces in my family.
Oh, no,
I'm sorry. There was a lot of trauma there.
Where'd you graduate from high school?
Up in Evergreen.
Okay, so you were a Jeffco kid for a little bit. Anyway.
I was a Jeffco kid. I started in Jeffco, ended in Jeffco.
What schools did you hit in Jeffco?
Open school only, the Jefferson County Open School.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So my parents my father was probably a little more progressive back in the day, I guess you could say, right? Which, of course, put me into those schools. But I also went to Cherry Creek High School in ninth grade.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Bruins, yeah.
I went to Byers. I went to Gove. I went to Park Hill. It's a list of schools.
That makes it tough, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, absolutely. I mean, fortunately, I'm well adjusted. I went right out of high school. I started working in the career that I'm still in, so 40 years. So that's nice.
So you've always been in the metro area, though?
Yes. I mean, I travel the country for my job, but yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
And when you were up until a certain age, you were a
male.
Male.
And I still biologically am. This is the sex versus gender conversation.
Well,
right?
And Billy and I have had this conversation on and off the air for freaking months.
And
now
I'm just going to sit here after we're done and listen to that conversation off air.
Tell me, first off, biologically male, and you presented, I presume that means gender, presented as a male up until what age?
So in my 50s.
And then what was the impetus or the final, straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, where you were like, you know what? I'm changing the way I live my life, or at least the way I present. I'm going to do this.
Mostly it was just that psychologically it was almost impossible to bury it anymore. So since I was 4 or 5, like kind of cognizantly aware that something was wrong with me mentally, right? Like I didn't fit, like my head, who I thought I was and how I looked, it didn't match, right?
Since I was four or five, so early.
Very, very young, yeah. And when I was that young, it wasn't a gender dysphoria. It was more of a something's wrong, something's not right, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until really puberty and, that age that I was like, wait a second, I'm this, right? And so it was at that point in the late 70s, early 80s, when, of course, there was a lot of pushback against this and, tranny and cross-dresser and all those things. And that was, really frowned upon societally. I spent a lot of time, obviously, growing up repressing it and really built a very strong male persona, honestly, probably derived around Don Johnson of Miami Vice, right? I mean, seriously, like
with
mimicking
the jacket with the sleeves rolled up. And
I mean,
the t-shirt.
I was a super athlete. I could dunk a basketball. I'm like 5'10". I was so, I had so much athletic skill.
But during that time that you're going through all this, you're still feeling on the inside. Did you have a name for it, or did you think to yourself, I am not a guy? Or, I mean, what were
the... I just felt wrong. Yeah. Oh, you mean when I was older? Yes.
No. I mean, at the time that you're dunking basketballs and thinking that you're Don Johnson.
I think by that time I had probably buried it pretty well. It would only like come out of my head maybe every once in a while. I don't know how to describe it. It would manifest. I'd be like, oh, man. And then I would really bury it again, right? Like I would do a lot of stuff in my head to make sure that I didn't think about it.
At any point during your time dealing with this, did you share it with your parents?
No.
And why not?
You know, that's probably a question for my therapist. I honestly don't know.
Next question then. When did you ever seek therapy for whatever you were feeling, and when did that happen?
So the ironic thing is for me with therapy is that the times that I did go see a therapist, I think I just lied to them to really, really help me further repress it. So probably in the last 6 years when I started going to therapy, I started to accept the fact that, wait a second, this is really, I'm much more comfortable in my skin this way, right? And so since I've been on hormones, because I do take, I take estrogen.
Yeah.
I feel so much better psychologically and physically with that in my body. And again, it could be psychosomatic.
Rebecca, do you think it's I was going to ask that. That's a great point. Do you think it's because of the estrogen or because you have just accepted that you are not what you had purported to be all this time?
Sure. So the acceptance is a big part of it, right? That plays in a huge role. But I went before they would even put me, fortunately, I go to a good therapist. I have good doctors. Before they would even do that, I lived female for 2 years before I even went on any type of hormone treatment to make sure that I didn't do something that's irreversible, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Because things start to change, right? Biologically. Like,
what made you think that was the thing that was plaguing you? And by plaguing you, I mean haunting you in the back of your mind, because, there's a ton of different things people go see therapists for, right? Like that DSM-5, that diagnosis, it's super thick and it has a billion things in there. How did you know it was this?
So I guess part of the awakening for me in the last two decades is just the awareness of transgender as a diagnosis, right? Or gender dysphoria, as it is in DSM-5.
Yeah.
Because gender dysphoria as a diagnosis, and there's different therapists that think different things, like, it's not a mental health thing, right?
Yeah.
I happen to believe that it is a disorder. But is it wrong, right? Like, disorder is a word that sounds like there's something wrong with you. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with me, but I know something up here isn't like you.
Yeah.
Right? Because you could never imagine this. This is like the furthest thing. You probably don't even have a cell in your brain that could process this.
Well, I think that's true. And I think in part it's because I've been ridiculously drunk many times in my life. And there are things that I would never consider doing sober that I would consider. That ain't one of them. So you're right.
You wouldn't even consider it drunk.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right.
So I know saying no matter what I have done to my noggin through intoxicating liquors or anything like that, I've never had that thought on that. But
right. Well, and that's kind of what, so for me, that's where I kind of came to that awareness, right? And that was through therapy and that. And that's part of why I'm kind of, I don't want to say I'm an outlier, but I like a lot of the stuff is happening with children and this. I feel like there's almost a form of, and abuse is a strong word, but there's this steering of children into thinking that they're transgender when your five-year-old boy wants to play with Barbies, that's not abnormal. That doesn't mean they're transgender.
Yeah.
Don't send them to school as a girl because they're playing with Barbies, right? Like, I'm sure you played with Barbies. Maybe not. I don't know.
In all the wrong ways. No, I'm kidding. It was definitely hetero-reaffirming behavior
with the
Barbies. No, I'm kidding.
Sure.
Let me ask you this, though, in light of that, in your experience. Would it have made a positive difference for you at 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, whatever, if some of the things that are taking place in schools today were available to you then?
It certainly would have changed my life trajectory. Absolutely.
In a good way?
I believe so, yeah, because I would have been able to be myself and maybe have been even better now today mentally than I am.
So if that's true, though, then why would you say, hey, I don't like what's going on in the schools
because
right
of
now?
The way that it's happening. So, like, I look at it this way. If you're first or second grade boy wants to go to school as a girl or thinks they're a girl, don't do it. And the reason I say that, and it's not to tell parents that they're doing it wrong if they're doing that. That's obviously a parental choice, and, society can vet that out over the next decade or whatever. But you're going to set the normality for that boy as being a girl all the way through school then. If your second grader wants to go to school as a girl and still has to go to school as a boy, they can be a girl at home or whatever. But when they're going through puberty and they come home and go, I want to go to school as a girl, then you know there's some dysphoria going on. Because when you're going through puberty, yeah, because at that point you're developing that the understanding of your sexual, your gender, not just your sex, right? So, and gender, I think, is based is attraction. There's all sorts of different things about your body that, you know, change when you go through puberty, obviously. And so I think that if you're at that stage and you still don't recognize your physical state, your sex, as your gender, then that tells me that then you have whatever I have, if what it is something that you have.
And
right?
What should be done then? You get into that. Those puberty ages.
Well, at that
what do you
point,
think
I
should
let
happen?
Your child make their decision. I mean, if your pubescent boy thinks they're a girl and wants to go to school as a girl, and by thinks, at that point, if they're at that point in this social structure we live in right now, the amount of pressures and things that would come in on a boy of that age going to school as a girl would be so immense that if they're doing that, it really means that that's who they are. It's not just something they think,
It couldn't be a phase that they're going through, like a rebellious phase. You don't see that as a problem?
Not at that point, no. Are you kidding? Could you imagine any of your boys or you or anybody you know going to school, having been a boy all through fifth or sixth grade, and then suddenly they want to go to school as a girl?
I can't, but at the same time, I went to high school at a time, and Billy went at the same time, although I imagine the dress code in Mullen would be different, and that is that dudes showed up dressed all gothy. You know what I mean? Like the jet black hair and the mascara and all the other stuff. And I couldn't envision my boys doing that either.
So effeminate boys, right? So we use the word effeminate, right, to describe some boys, right? Because they're effeminate. And some gay boys are effeminate, things like that. I'm talking about actually going in, presenting as female, being addressed as female, wanting to be female. And by wanting, I mean needing.
If you're, I'm going to pick a number,
sure,
13.
Yeah, that's
a great
number.
Let's just say 13. And you're kid is of that, what are the limits on to what I'm going to say transition you would allow them to make at 13? I'm telling you,
well,
as a parent,
absolutely.
It would freak me out for them to go to school that way. Like, I would be so worried about them. It's not a question of love. It's a question of I worry about what's going to happen.
And safety and mental health and all of that.
But if they came to me at 13 and all of a sudden the school or anyone was like, you know what, you should start hormone therapy and you should start thinking about, sir, I'd be like, nope.
So the only hormone therapy that I think, and again, you know, I'm not an expert, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist, I just have gone through this, right? I think the only hormone therapy that would be okay with me would be hormone blockers, just to prevent puberty, in the sense that, you know, for males, there's some irreversible things that happen, like your voice deepens and things like that you can't. And then for females, there's irreversible things like breast removal. I wouldn't do any of that until they're old enough to make that decision.
Even
legally.
The blockers, though, too? Like, doesn't that seem like if you stop...
Once you take off blockers, you go through puberty. And if you go through puberty...
I've
been going through puberty in my 50s taking estrogen.
Huh.
So, I mean, so it's been an interesting thing for me emotionally. There's been some interesting things, right? Because I've changed the I mean, I'm messing with my genetics, obviously, right? Because that's not who I am sexually. Gender-wise, again, different thing. And I want to have the off-camera discussion.
We could do it on mic, too.
But I want you to be able to lead this, just because I would rather answer your questions and be available to you in the audience to answer anything.
Sure.
You know, to a limit, obviously. So that's why I see that. So puberty blockers, to me, just from what I've seen, and again, my research would be very, you know, first blush. I've read some of the DSM-5 stuff. I talked to my therapist. I'm concerned for youth, and also I'm concerned, you know, part of the pushback right now, because there's so much, like, the LGBTQ, RS, LMNOP, alphabet community.
It's interesting that you say that, like, you don't feel any special kind of reverence or respect for needing to add the letters and the plus
really
and all the other
funny.
Stuff.
So, like, the alphabet clan or religion or whatever you want to call it. I love that community because there's a great sense of community when people are together and doing something, right? I'm not super involved, but I'm enough involved, and I've never met anybody there I didn't like, right?
Yeah.
But everybody's different. I mean, gay men have completely different needs than lesbians do, and lesbians have completely different needs. And, you know, and then there's lesbians that don't like transgender women and all these different, like, there's all this infighting, right? But, and this is, I'm going to get political here. The left really leverages that community and speaks for them without asking. Because I believe there's a lot of conservative gay men. I think there's a lot of conservative lesbians. There's a lot of conservative transgender. I mean, I've been conservative my whole life. I'm a bleeding heart conservative, you know. I mean, I'm big on schools, but, you know, I'm also very supportive of military. I mean, all of that stuff, right? I mean, I want financial responsibility in our government. I also don't want the government, like, messing with my life. Yeah. I just want to be who I am and be invisible, and I don't want, you know, intrusion. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Yeah. I imagine that makes you an outlier, at least that we know.
Absolutely.
The people that are the most out front and most public don't tend to be conservatives. And in fact, most people would be listening to this going, how is it possible to be a conservative and to have made this sort of lifestyle choice? Right. I'm going to use the word choice.
Sure.
Because
you're welcome, Tim.
For a long time, you made a choice to do it. So, and maybe that's not the right word.
So this is funny. So my choice was to live male.
Yeah.
I didn't have that choice back at that time because it didn't really exist for me to exist as who I really am, right? And
so
again,
is this part then the way you are right now with the estrogen stuff, the way you dressed and present yourself, you don't see that as the choice. You see that as
this is who I am.
Huh, interesting.
The choice was and I love the life that I lived. There was nothing wrong with it, right?
Yeah.
It just wasn't genuine.
Could you and have you gone back or changed the way that you present yourself? And maybe in asking that question, I'm saying, have you gone back and forth genders, I guess?
So there are still times I need to do that professionally, yes. Which is a gigantic mental struggle for me.
When you do that, are you changing genders?
Yes.
So that's interesting to me. So gender is just a choice then?
So gender is not necessarily a choice because I'm presenting different, right? So that's all I'm doing. And again, anybody can present however they want, right? I mean, you don't have to be transgender to dress female. And that's, you know, there's a lot of transgendered women that have facial hair and, you know, they do all of that. I don't prescribe to that. I mean, to me, if you are transgender, your brain is, that is who you are, right? Yeah. You are not the biological sex. Your gender is different in your head, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not denying what my biological sex is. There's no question about that, right? So that's what I see. But on a professional level, and I actually go through like a whole thing in my head when I have to present male now, which is difficult for me. And again, when I first transitioned, if you will, it was difficult to present female, mainly because I was uncomfortable that I looked male, that, you know, all of those things societally wise that were true, right? Because I don't necessarily look super feminine, that kind of a stuff, right? That's part of the reasons that surgeries and things like that, because I don't like how I look, right?
Well, I didn't know that. You don't like
it. No, but I don't, right. I guess I should clarify that. Yeah. I mean, I don't, how I look is not how I want to look or how I wished I could look or how, all of those things. It's really it is a tough mental.
So what do you do about that then?
I do the best makeup I can.
Are you thinking about doing some sort of surgical this, that, or the other?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
I mean, again, it comes down to affording it, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean,
I don't live the high life radio.
I don't live the high life radio either, as you can tell from how we dress. So I don't know what the cost for that is, but I do know that women go under those kinds of procedures all the time.
So like if I were to do all of the things that I wanted, like just facially.
Yeah.
It's like $30,000.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
And you'd want to do something with your face. Anything else? You change in any other anatomy?
Yes. But that's actually covered by insurance.
Wait, what?
Yep.
So hold on.
Gender-affirming surgery is covered by insurance.
It is. And is gender-affirming surgery everything south of your neck?
Yep.
Really?
Well, everything south of your belly.
Okay, so not breast enhancement or anything like that?
No. That
That's not considered gender-affirming?
That develops with estrogen.
Huh.
Maybe not to the extent that you would want it.
Uh-huh.
Not that you would want it.
Uh-huh. Well.
But like me.
Yeah. But that's interesting. I didn't know that insurance covered all that stuff, but I've never looked into it.
Well, again, so this is where this is my love-hate with the government, right? So the government has mandated it for the most part. And there are definitely states now pushing back, right? Florida doesn't allow it anymore. They don't make insurance pay for it anymore. Colorado is by far one of the most liberal states, as you know, in everything, right? I mean, we can abort newborns. And so that this is the love-hate, right? It's like, okay, well, so they have to pay for it. And by have to, that makes it hard for me to think, okay, well, yeah.
Have you done anything thus far that is irreversible? And would you do something irreversible if you had that option?
So estrogen is irreversible.
It is? Like you can't just stop taking it and
I can stop
go back
taking
to
it, but I'm not going to stop. What's developed is not going to go away.
Okay.
All right. That would require surgery at this point.
What about, and I'm trying to be as delicate as I can be here, but anything else that gender-affirming surgery?
I've not, no.
And do you think about doing it? And
sure.
It seems to me, like I can't even get a tattoo, right? Like there was that period of time, and I'm way past that time now, but where, you know, dudes in the military and stuff were like, before we deploy, I'm going to get my kids' names on my back or whatever. I couldn't even do that because I'm like, what if I just don't like the way it looks in a month or a year or in 10 years? The stuff that we're talking about with this gender-affirming surgery is not like, well, I changed my mind. I guess I'll go have it lasered back on, you know?
Right. So I guess I missed the question in that. But
would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And are you thinking of doing that? Do you have any hesitation about that decision?
Yes.
What's the hesitation?
I don't know if I want to go into in-depth about it, but it just has to do with the complexities of it, the amount of recovery, that kind of thing.
That's a different decision.
But psychologically, no. You know, at my age, because I'm in my 50s, is it worth it, right? That kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because I get away with it. I mean, as far as presenting, but, you know, I can't wear a bathing suit. Yeah. I mean, I could. Obviously, I can go to Kohl's and, you know.
Yeah, or Target. They
or Target,
special,
yeah.
But you'd have to be younger for that one, I think.
No, actually, you know what? They didn't make kid ones. I don't think they sold kid ones.
They don't have the kid ones?
No,
I swear there was some story about
that.
Yeah,
I think that was kind of the hype, right? Because this is the whole, you know, the meme age, right? Where that became the outrage. I don't think Target or Kohl's carried kids, but they did carry some really weird, like... And, you know, I think that stuff's great to have because the LGBTQ community wants that kind of stuff for their kids, right?
Sure.
But to make it, I don't want to say unnormalize it because it should be normal because it may be out of the ordinary, but there's a lot of people that are in that community. To have it available, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think to make it the like almost you have to buy it, like it's at the checkout, like a an impulse item.
Yeah.
I think that's going a little far, right? And I noticed even at my Kohl's store that all of the Pride stuff now is in the back of the store. It was in the front.
And I think they're doing that with some of the Target stuff, although I was just in a Target store the other day and I can't remember which one, where his belt was right out front.
Well,
right
in Colorado, yeah. I don't think there's worried. There's not as much pushback here, right?
Rebecca, let's do this because we're at a hard break here. And let me ask you, is there a right term to refer to you as? Like, do you say...
You mean pronouns? Like, do I get offended?
We'll get to the pronouns thing, but is it like... Rebecca, a woman who, I mean, because the conversation isn't about Rebecca, a woman. It's a conversation about sort of this journey to get there. Is it trans woman? Is it?
Yeah, is there a term
that's appropriate?
I mean, for the purpose of conversation, trans woman is fine because then people know who you're talking to, right?
Okay, well, I didn't want to do anything
disrespectful. Refer to myself that way.
I get it. I understand that.
Yeah, let's go to a break.
We're talking with Rebecca for purposes of our radio show here, A Trans Woman, and we're going to come back. I do want to ask you questions about some of the Target stuff, some of the Bud Light stuff, the pronoun stuff.
Sure.
Do you ever see yourself taking questions from callers?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, listen, then I'm going to tee that up too. 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. If you have a question for Rebecca, and make it a good, respectful one too, but Billy will ferret that out on his end. We're going to come back from a break, and we're going to talk more with Rebecca about this. This is George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Just a couple simple minds right here at 710 KNUS. We've got Rebecca back in the studio. She has stuck around. So I blame you for all this stuff.
It's a great song.
Totally open to getting phone calls, by the way, at 303-696-1971. Rebecca, who is a trans woman, doesn't identify that way outside of this context, but for purposes of our conversation, a couple texts that we've gotten in. George and Rebecca, thank you for this show. Another one, well, I don't want to pay for it. This is a reference to the surgery, the gender-affirming surgery, and I don't believe other people should. If they want it, they better be able to afford it. I applaud you for having her on. Are you learning to be more tolerant? I'm going to have to look up the word tolerant, see what that means. And then, of course, Joan, God bless her, not sure what you're talking about here, and some others. You can feel free to text us. Also hit us on the Rumble and call us at 303-696-1971. I wanted to ask you a few questions. One,
can I just quick answer one thing?
Sure.
Just about that insurance thing. Because I totally get it not wanting to pay for, you know, gender affirming surgery, especially through insurance, because that's a group thing, right? But that's why the DSM-5 is there, right? Because it is a diagnosis, and I did go through whatever the vetting process is for a psychological disorder, right? So that is part of the reason that I would qualify for surgery like that. And I pay a lot of money for insurance like everybody else does. Right. And sometimes I've used it and sometimes I've not. I'm sure I've paid $1 million in insurance over the course of my lifetime. And I know I've never had that much work done. Right. So, you know, in the long run, I probably end up paying it out of pocket because of that.
Well, but to the extent it's a diagnosis, I get it, man. It could be a diagnosis for anything. Like there's nicotine addiction, I think, is one of the diagnoses, too. And that gets treated under insurance.
Well, isn't
it
like this thick?
It is huge. It went from the very first DSM, which I think had like 60 diagnosable mental maladies, let's call it The latest edition has like north of 400. So we're either getting better at identifying them or we're just coming up with more ways to diagnose things that are different as some sort of, I don't know, diagnosis. But let me do this.
We've got some calls coming in,
but let me get to a list of things here. One, I forgot to ask you in the upbringing.
Yeah.
With all the moving around and all of the stuff that went on with the families and stuff like that, was there ever, were you a person of faith? Did you ever go to church? Was there a religion that your family seemed?
No. So that's an interesting point, right? Because, I was raised faith. I was raised, I want to say ecumenical, right? So I do have faith. I do believe in God. Again, I have some struggles because why would God do this to me, right? I mean, that is a serious question. And that's one of the problems. That's one of the struggles that I do with faith, right? Is that is like, why? Because it doesn't make sense. But again, there's a lot of acceptance that you come to within yourself, right? Once you start to realize who it is and what it is and why it is, even if it doesn't make sense, it is a reality.
And so have you gone back to church at all, or do you do any sort of church thing regularly?
Sparingly.
Let me get into some other topics here before we get to Phil and the others on the line here at 303-696-1971. Tell me about your take, and I know you don't speak for the whole community. And there's a lot of folks, by the way, who think they do, but you're not doing that.
No, not at all.
Where are you on this whole bathrooms issue?
So my biggest concern about that only is that, you know, I use the women's restroom. I'm not in there to be a creep or to look at naked women. And, you know, for all the men out there that are concerned, there's all stalls, right? So it's not like women are going in there and undressing and, you know, peeing in urinals and things like that, you know. So it's in that sense. And it actually would be more uncomfortable for men to me to go in the men's restroom anyway. They'd be like, who the heck is coming into? It's not the word I wanted to use.
I know.
You know? Who the heck is coming in here? What, you know? And then it becomes a safety issue for me, right? Whereas when I go into the women's restroom, nobody even second guesses. I mean, again, early when I was not necessarily as good at presenting female, I was concerned about it. But, you know, I need to use a restroom. I do try to use family restrooms when available, just in case there's someone who had been because I certainly have no intention.
Knowing women's rooms the way I do, and that is only passingly.
Right.
My guess is they're all stalls. They don't have the little urinal thing where you and dudes are trying not to lock eyes while you're doing your business.
Right, exactly.
And so you have that built-in privacy there already. Yeah, so that's got to be different.
Well, and there's not like women walking by trying to look through the cracks and, you know, see what you're doing. You know, I mean, that just doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
It's same thing in men's room. I mean, it's really just – it's actually more private, right?
Yeah.
And I would never go into a women's locker room and undress. I mean, that's just disrespectful. You know, it's incredibly disrespectful. So at the gym or things like that, it's difficult, right? So those are difficult things.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, I have a private gym, so I don't go to like a, you know, a club.
303-696-1971. We're talking with Phil.
Go to the gym.
Phil, you're on 710 KNUS. What do you think, Phil?
I just really respect and admire what Rebecca is sharing today. I think the, understanding that this is a psychological disorder is really significant. And, you know, the issue is how do you deal with this psychological disorder? And I think taking the politics out of it and just looking at it as a medical condition. Lots of people have medical conditions, and there needs to be sensitivity to that. And I think that I'm impressed, conservative, transgender, but understands the difference between the two. So thank you, Rebecca.
Well, you're welcome.
Do you have a question, Phil, for Rebecca?
I don't have a question. I'm impressed.
Well, Phil, I appreciate that. I think the one thing, and I heard Rebecca struggle with it a little bit here, is it is one thing to acknowledge disorder, but in doing that, the concern is that has a negative connotation to it. Sure. Disorder sounds like some ways abnormal or wrong or something like that. And maybe even abnormal fits, but it's also it has that negative connotation right. to it. And I guess how we address that is probably the most important thing. Phil, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for getting us kicked up.
And I always, that's why I always try to like temper it. It's like, even though it is abnormal, it is a disorder. It doesn't mean it's wrong, right? That's really the only way to describe it, because it's absolutely, I think there's some, and again, I think everybody obviously is different, but it's difficult for some people to see it as a disorder because that actually does have an emotional impact on them. I believe that maybe I'm just maybe old enough or mature enough to understand that I can have a disorder but not be wrong, right?
Have you ever heard of or known people who have had whatever, that disorder that you described?
Gender dysphoria.
Gender dysphoria, and have either not transitioned and through therapy or whatever, they've gotten comfortable with who they are biologically, or have you known people that have made a transition and then have transitioned back and been like, I feel better as another person?
I'm not involved enough in the community to know enough people to have any of those experiences, sadly. I've definitely read about them. I see them on YouTube. I mean, there's all of those things, right? I do believe there is a psychological version of this that is caused, that's a causation as opposed to either the genetic or whatever the disorder is, right? And I believe that there's a lot of maybe gay men and gay women or lesbians and gays that because of societal norms, it's easier to, either coming up through religion where they're very anti-gay or they're very whatever, to go through this, it's easier to say, well, I'm transgender. That's why I'm attracted to men. What they actually are is gay, and they don't want to be gay because that's even worse than being transgender.
It
does that
is?
Make sense? Well, not to me.
But
right?
That's how you, but you I think. There, so, I've never looked at it in those terms, but you think society has a...
I do think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of religious things where, like, transgenderism is obviously a very strange disorder, right?
Yeah.
Whereas gay is just wrong. And I see there's a lot of that in society where it's looked at that way. I'm not saying everywhere. I'm just saying that I feel like there is a lot of that.
That is interesting, that it would be easier to say I'm attracted to dudes because I am a woman,
right,
as opposed to saying I'm a guy who's attracted to guys.
Right. And I think that there are a lot of, because of like their parents or their family or all of that, it's like, oh, I just can't say that I'm gay, so okay. And I honestly think that is a portion of it. I don't know if it's a big portion or a little portion, and I could be 100% wrong, but,
But that's...
I feel like I see that, like, when I would go to support groups, there were trans women there that I felt like really were just gay men.
Huh. That's fascinating. I've never heard that before. But then I don't...
Well,
right. I'm not in that community a lot myself.
No, I'm sure you don't go to support meetings much.
No.
No.
In fact, if I had to add them up, I'd say zero so far. I've been to zero. But that doesn't mean I haven't been completely, like, cut off from it. Like, when I was first elected DA back in 2012, when I took over in 2013, I went to One Colorado and sat down and just said, hey, listen, man, you got to help me here. I presume that there is more violence going on with members of the community being victimized, either each other, like domestic violence or stuff. Because statistically, people in homosexual relationships aren't going to be more peaceful than the goofs that end up hooking up and beating on each other in the regular community. I'm like, you got to help me figure out a way to get them to report. Because right. We got to protect them too. It's just the law exists for everybody. But other than that, and I have friends that are gay, but I've never really gotten into the nitty gritty with them. By the way, thank you for letting us have these conversations with
sure.
you. One quick second before we come back, and we're going to get to the phone lines too, Susie and everybody else. I promise we'll get to you. Real estate's kind of a big deal. Do you own your own home, Rebecca?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Now listen, if you had to buy a home in the future, my recommendation would be to go to Gay Ribble with Empower Home Team, Keller Williams. These folks are fantastic. Gay has been in the business, and Gay is spelled G-A-Y-E, and that's important because the website is gayhasthebuyers.com. So G-A-Y-E. And Gay does have all the buyers. She's got about 14,000 of them in waiting. Wow. So if you list your home with her, boom, 14,000 people get notified your house is for sale. And, you know, the predictable consequence of that is your home gets sold faster and for a bigger dollar amount. That's why they sell on average for more than other realtors, and they sell faster on average than other realtors. They also can help you buy that dream home and get into that home. They have seen all the kinds of economies out there, including this crazy one that we're in right now, and they'll help you find happiness by putting you in that home. And I'm telling you, having a home makes all the difference. No knock on anybody who rents. I've been a renter for years, but when I finally was able to buy that house, it was a difference maker. It just, you feel like you own something, like you've accomplished some sort of a life milestone there. Give her a call at 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. You're going to be happy you did. And then text us and call us and tell us about how awesome that experience was. We're going to go right back to the phone lines here. Susie from Littleton, you're on 710 KNUS. Susie, what do you think?
Well, first of all, George, I'm real surprised, actually shocked that you had this guest on this morning.
Why?
And I really appreciate
it. Why do you say that?
I'm one of your frequent listeners. I listen driving into work every morning. But, no, because it's a really conservative talk show, you know. But anyway, I really appreciate that you have get Rebecca on this morning. And I guess my question for Rebecca is, what are the top two or three things that you want the public to know and be educated on this subject?
That's a great question, Susie. Thank you for that. That's a really smart question. I wish I had thought of it. And when we edit the podcast, it will be my question, Susie. We're going to edit you out, so it's my – I'm kidding. Yeah. Thank you, Susie.
Your sarcasm is why I enjoy your show. And you know, but I have to tell, first time listeners have got to be like, is this guy nuts? Anyway,
they already know.
Okay,
they already know.
It is a great question. So the biggest thing for me is that I just want to be invisible. I just want to be who I am. Right. Like I don't want to be a transgender woman. I just want to be a woman and not be bothered. Right. So that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for everybody else. My experience, what I think, what I do, who I am. How I present what I do in public is how I feel about it, not about how the LGBTQ community thinks about it. The community as a whole, I don't speak for them, right? And I'm at odds in some ways, and I'm grateful in many ways, right? There needs to be a community. Obviously, there's definitely need to be a community just for safety and protection in many ways. But for the most part, I just don't want intrusion, right? Like, you don't tell me what to do. I won't tell you what to do. And that's part of the reason right now with all of this, like, super push into schools, into all of the different aspects of society, this gigantic push by the left, who I think is leveraging the community to just make change. But the left makes changes in such, like, it's almost like they make you do things without asking. And that, to me, puts me at odds with it, because I want it to just organically happen. That's how society evolves, right? Mm-hmm. But I also see that a lot of things swing very far right, very far left, and then they find a middle ground, right? And I think what's happening right now is that this transgender thing has gone super, super far to one side, where it's like over acceptance, and it needs to swing back just a little bit to have that middle ground. So there's more acceptance, there's more understanding. The biggest thing for me is I would just ask people that like are anti-trans, the transphobic, which again is just one of those newspeak Orwellian words, right? Like if you're afraid of transphobic, that's just such a funny thing to call it, right? But if you don't like trans people for whatever reason, educate yourself, because what I think you don't like is the politics of people making you want to like them. Like, just understand who they are as a human and take them that way. Because I think there's a lot of people that have gay friends, and 25 years ago they may have never admitted that.
Right.
But now they will. And it's the same thing with transgender people. That was a weird way to say that. But it's the same way with transgender people. You know, just understand that I believe that most of us just want to literally blend in. I'd rather people not even know, right? Like, I don't want people to know. I'm not going to go, you're not walking to the school, hey, I'm trans, I need some help here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not how I do it.
We've run out of time for this segment, but I want to keep talking with you. As long as you're willing to sit here and suffer through my questions, and we keep getting calls on the line here too, Billy and everybody else, we're going to keep taking these calls at 303-696.
Billy calls your show?
Billy does not like to call into the show, usually because he's working, but We'll get to Billy and the others too, but as long as you're willing to sit here, I'll keep asking the questions.
Sure.
I am fascinated with the idea that if you're a conservative, you say exactly what you said, which is I want the government out of my life as much as humanly possible, because liberty is about me doing the things that make me happy as long as they don't hurt somebody else.
Yep.
I want to live my life. I want to do my thing. And so I get that. I get that aspect of it. But then there's this other aspect that I know that you run up against, and that is this morality piece of this thing, and the folks that, and that's why I asked you about the faith stuff. But the thing that you said that I haven't given thought to is how much of the pushback against trans is also a function of, oh, this is the big progressive lefty thing, and I hate that stuff.
Yep.
So I'm gonna. I just wonder if that approach isn't, at least in the short term, I don't know about long term, a setback. Really, for
it is for
acceptance
me.
Because folks are like, I'm not gonna, like we saw with the, and I'm gonna ask you about this. I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna talk about in the next coming segment here.
Sounds good.
Bud Light, pronouns, we asked about the bathrooms, drag queens, all that stuff. All right, so can we have those conversations?
Absolutely.
Listen, if you want to have those conversations, well, and you've got things maybe like Susie, great questions that I should have thought of that I shouldn't have given Susie credit for, frankly, but it was a great question. Then give us a call at 303-696-1971, and you can text us. We'll read the text and stuff like that. You can hit us on the Rumble as well. Stick around. It's George Brockner on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockner, right back with you here. Here, listen, I have hosed us a little bit on the time. For the callers on the line, and they're getting filled up here, you can join them at 303-696-1971. Rebecca has foolishly agreed to stick around, throwing caution to the wind and apparently leveraging whatever free time she has for our cheap, cheap radio station coffee. But she'll continue to answer your questions. And we've got some text ones here. I'm going to read those. I'm also going to get into these topics here. Bud Light, the pronouns, drag queens, and also someone texted in and asked about law enforcement and your perceptions of law enforcement and do they serve the community and all that other stuff. So I think those are all great questions. And then there are other questions here that I'll ask. I'll let you read those things offline so you can be prepared for them. But folks, this is the kind of conversation that we need to have. We just don't have it often enough. I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of it too. So give us a call at 303-696-1971. Hit us on the text or the Rumble. Otherwise, stick around. It's me, George, right here on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.